would like to ask the children that are present here today that would like to come up for a children's message, please come forward now. I could trade places and go sit down, and you could stand. Just have a chair. While the kids are coming up, to those of you that are guests and visitors today, I would point you to the inside of the bulletin where it says the service of the sacrament and ask you to take a quick look at that while the kids are coming up and going down. We're all here, pretty much, almost all here. One more. Oh, and she's going to be there. Okay. And the big kids are down here, too. And so are these big kids. Look at them all out there. They're somebody's kids, you know. At one point in life, you know what? Their mom had to tell them to go clean their room. How many of you have had to go clean your room? No? Let's ask them. How many of you were told to go clean your room? The rest of you should have. Today is the last day you'll see green on the preachers for a while. And the altar is green. What color is going to happen next? Oh, next week's going to be white, and then it's going to go purple for Lent. And you know our acolyte, there she is. She did a great job carrying a cross in procession. Lent is all about that. But actually, every single Sunday is all about that, isn't it? Because we always talk about Jesus, don't we? When you go to Sunday school, do you talk about Bozo the Clown, or do you talk about Jesus? Jesus, yeah. How many of you have ever had something that you really were proud of and you did right? Anybody out there? I want you to imagine that you were given a great big balloon in honor of all the super good thing you did. It was really good, you know. I mean, anybody would say it was good. And there comes somebody with the sharp two-edged sword of the Word of God, and poof, what happens to your balloon? It pops, and it goes poof, in a pile of stuff. Now, God told us, and we're going to hear more about it in the sermon, which you guys are helping me to start. He told us that all the good things that we think we do, they're not good. There's only one, he says, that does good. And who's that? Jesus, you win the prize. Never forget it. What?
The Nobel
Prize. Oh. Well, I'll tell you what. How many of you are baptized? Me too. Let's ask them. How many of you are baptized? They all won the prize. So did you. The prize is that God accepts us and loves us just the way we are, but he doesn't want to leave us there. He loves us that way because Jesus is full of love. And even those hard words that he said today in the gospel, which we're going to talk about in a minute, those are words of truth. And when we say that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, we're saying something really important. He's the way. The Greek term for that is the road. Hey, hodas, the road. Right? He's the road. So, what's the road? It's a two-way road. He comes from God to us. He's the road. And he wraps us up in love in our holy baptism, and he carries us. Even when we get wandering off, does she ever wander off? No? Okay. I wander off. You wander off? Don't we all wander off? Look at him out there. Here comes somebody else. Come on, you're not too late. You don't get good points for being first. It's not a race. Because you see, Jesus already won the race. And the race now is he helps us and carries us along. Isn't that neat? Just like a mom carries her baby, the Lord carries us. Even what, sometimes we say, well, where were you? I was going through something really tough, and I don't know where you were, Lord. He says, I was carrying you all the way through. Now that you are okay, go again on your own. But I'll be with you every step of the way. You guys are such a great group of people. You pay attention, and you wonder what that preacher's going to say next. Oh, good, you know. But always remember that your job is to what? Listen. And that's their job too, isn't it? So thank you for reminding us that's our job. Let's go do the sermon, and you guys can go sit down. Thank you for helping me get started. In Genesis, in the Latin, it said, fiat lux, and that means let there be light. When the preacher here, and your new one to come, and when Pastor Rockman, who's filling in also, is here, and the light goes on, remember, what you see is not that. You see a reflected light. And there's an old, old Latin motto. It says, in luce tuum videmus lucem. In your light, we see light. In the Old Testament, when God created the world, he said, fiat lux, if you knew Latin. You know, that means, let there be light. What's the very next phrase? And there was light. Isn't that amazing? The darkness has not overcome it. Even though Jesus, in his words today in our gospel to his disciples and those others listening, had some very, very sharp words. It's almost like we're already in Lent, but this is the last Sunday after the Epiphany. Remember what that was after Christmas? How God's word spread the light to everyone, everywhere. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm really pretty ignorant and hard to get impressed. And sometimes I wander off and think my own thoughts are something really good. And then along comes a lesson like today's gospel. And it absolutely stuns me that the Word of God isn't written by somebody who wants to sell something. In other words, putting very glossy, glowing, golden terms in the mouth of Jesus, serving only nice things and making you feel good about yourself. Maybe it's because what he said is true. I and the Father are one. And he doesn't mess around with that. These days, religion has been called by some fancy term, moral therapeutic deism, if there is even a belief in God. Because by and large, a lot of people, and the number is rising, say they're none. You think that's new? It's always been that way. Ever since Adam and Eve heard the invitation to become none. Because becoming none means that you're the deciding one. It's up to you. You cut your own pathway. And they fell into it, you fall into it, and I fall into it. Daily, we sin against our Creator. What Jesus was saying to those people there in Galilee many, many years ago is just as true for us today as it was for them. We have expectations that somehow there will come somebody we can have in power that's going to save us from whatever. We have maybe faith in science, that once we learn how everything ticks, and I'm all for learning how everything ticks, but it's going to be a second tick. Oh, I can't wait to return that call to my friend. He should have been in church. I'll gently remind him of that. He's got some troubles, but when we have troubles, what do? We curve in on ourselves. And that's what Luther said is the condition of human beings. He used the Latin. He always did. He was a Latin teacher. He learned in Latin. The school was in Latin until he began to encourage teaching and learning and reading and praying in German. Now we do it in English, more or less. But he said, we're curved in on ourselves. But there was something else that an ancient father of the church said, that we're always restless. The soul is always restless until it finds its rest in thee, O Lord. That's the goal that we have. And the goal that we, in this past Epiphany, have been encouraged to support in the reaching out to our family, our friends, and our neighbors. And sometimes we can't push it down their throat. We have to wait for a question to come, and then with all humility, question with them, and let the answer come from the one who has made us, and who has redeemed us, and the one who makes us holy.
Holy?
Jesus didn't seem to think that the people he was talking to were quite holy, although some of them probably thought they were pretty holy in themselves. They were really modern people. They were sort of, if there is a God, you know, well, I'm doing all right. I do the best I can, and, not perfect, but do pretty good. That's the way we all are by nature, whether or not we're in church or at home. So how do you invite people to come to hear the truth, to hear about sin, to hear about grace, to hear about the law, to hear the gospel? I don't know. Over the years, there have been people in my congregations that have been much better at that than I am. Wow. And yet, none of us knows, like it was when Jesus said about the people that were doing loving things to others, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you've done it to me. So we don't know. What is the requirement of you and me as a caretaker of God's mercy and grace in Jesus Christ? This is one thing. It's required of a steward that he or she be found faithful. Now then, have there been times when I or you have not been faithful even in our witness? Oh yeah. Have there been times when we goofed up and didn't give an honest witness to what we truly believe? Oh yeah. Have there been times when we said what we are supposed to believe, but we were not very convincing? It's like we were reading it off a piece of paper. Oh yeah. How do you keep connected and in relationship with other people that are different from you? It's very difficult because the temptation is for us to go along with the easy peasy way of life that says, well, you know, everybody has their own approach. It's, you know, what it is. How, in the midst of that, do you find the courage to simply say, I don't think that's right. I think that we have to pay attention to what God has done. And then they counter you with, well, God, I mean, you know, everybody has an impression of that. If there is a God, that's what you're up against today. And so you need to be able to say, I think there is a God. And that has scared the out of me many times in my life. If they get, well, that's you. I'm fine with it. I just do my thing. For now, you need to be able to reach through that and not put them down, but to reach out and say, yeah, for now, maybe. But there's still a better way. What? better than just being my own self? There is. The better way is to love others, to do for others. And what is it that's going to make this thing happen? Are you looking for some sort of reward? No. It's not that at all. Because people in this world are pretty much convinced you don't do something for nothing. You got to get paid. And if you're doing good works, you better get some recognition, a plaque or something. Years ago when I was a kid, these kids' age, went to Sunday school. Every year that I was there, every single Sunday, I got a pin. How many of you did that? Yeah, a few of you got pins. After you get a bunch of those things, you stick in your drawer, and you forget it. It's not about that. Instead, it's about hearing the searching, believing one who's your teacher, encouraging you to trust the trustworthy one, the Lord Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us, so that trusting in him, that he died for my sins and the sins of you and everyone, there's something worth hanging on to with that. Because he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. We've often left him and forsaken him. You heard the harsh words in the words of the readings for today. And you heard those harsh things. And unless you simply said, oh, they're talking about my neighbor, and didn't let them sink in here, you missed something. You're talking to us. But who's the one talking? The one talking is Jesus the Christ. The one talking is the one who came to be one of us, to be honest with us, and then to give himself over into death for the payment in the Father's hearts of the sins of everyone, the righteous dying for the unrighteous. Who did he die for? Only those people that believe? He died for everyone. You will never meet a person for whom Jesus Christ did not die. That puts you together in a very real way. Not above them, not beneath them, but with them. And the good news is that the with them, he has incorporated our Lord into his heart. So that we now are given everything. And here in this place, you come to refocus on that. You come to pray. You come to praise. You've done a great job of singing better than me. And you come to give thanks. Talk a little bit about that give thanks. The communion is called the Eucharist. Thanksgiving. In which we receive the very body and blood of Christ. Not because of the holy hands of the preacher, or even the vote of the elders or anybody else, but because of Jesus, his own words, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This is my blood shed for you. Take, drink for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Those two disciples that were on their way to Emmaus that didn't recognize Jesus until that breaking of the bread and that sharing of the cup, do this in remembrance of me, had their eyes opened. It's taken a long time, all my life long and even probably longer, for me to recognize that it's not the holy hands of the preacher or the priest. It's not his faith, it's not his training, it's none of that. It's all about Jesus. It's not about him and Jesus any more than your faith is about you and Jesus. It's all about Jesus. He's the one who, through the Holy Spirit, calls us, you and me. He's the one who gathers us in this place and from all around the world, all the places. He is the one who enlightens us, gives us faith and understanding. Not understanding and faith. That's the way the world says it. Because once you understand 2 and 2 is 4, you can have faith in that. It's the other way around with our Lord. Faith and then comes understanding. Oh my goodness. So backwards. Well, faith always takes its object. And there are people in this world that put their faith in all kinds of things. Stock market, political leaders, you name it. What's going to happen to all that? It's going to disappear. What will last? The same thing that has been from the beginning. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit enveloping his creation. I want to talk a little bit about the doctrine of purgatory before I quit for today. In some circles, that's seen as, oh, that's a terrible thing. And of course, it had a lot of involvement at the time of the Reformation. People were encouraged to give money to get people out of purgatory. Purgatory is a concept that says if you die and you're not good enough, you go someplace until it's time, and then you pay in stir, actually, until you're out of there, and then you can go to heaven. Unless, of course, you're a saint, and then you don't go there. You go right there. So my neighbor boy and I, we were about 9 years old, and I said, he says, what do you think about purgatory? I says, I don't know. I'm not going to go there. What? You think you're going to be as good as the saints? And I says, yeah, it's all because of Christ. I don't have to worry about that. Well, he and I had some junior grade theological discussions, and we learned something. We learned that it could escalate quite quickly. Fight. Our dads took each kid by the back of the neck, went and talked to him, give him a talking to, because we were chucking rocks at each other's houses, you know, the whole thing. Starting a Reformation all over, and the Counter-Reformation. And the dads had rehearsed this, and Mr. Keogh took me, and my dad took Jimmy, and look up and down the street, out of these houses. And this is 1955. How many of these people are going to church? Nobody. Just your family and ours. You think they see you doing this, they're going to want to go to church? Oh, this is way before Vatican II and all that stuff. They were still using Latin and all that. Well, Jimmy and I became good friends. Raced cars in high school together, all kinds of stuff as time went on. All because we were encouraged by the older generation. Cut that out. You're not giving a good name to what God has done through Christ in us. No, we have different histories. We have different understandings of things and how we interpret history. But one thing is for sure. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the incarnation of Jesus Christ, his death, his resurrection, and his very body and blood given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. That will endure. That's the Word made flesh. When it says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. You can count on that. It's more sure than investments. More sure than a big hunk of gold. Better for you, too. Because you're nourished and fed, forgiven, and cared for all along the way. So as this Epiphany season comes to its end, and we begin to move into other things. Special thing next week. We're going to puzzle over the appearance of Moses and Elijah. You know what that is? It's time for the preacher to say, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.